My friends in
Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. As we consider now the words of Jesus, you must lose it to find it. We read in Matthew chapter 16 from the Gospel reading these words when Jesus, verse 21. Jesus said to Satan, he said to Peter, after Peter had tried to forestall or to forbid Jesus from going to his death and resurrection, Peter said to Jesus, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is our text. Please be seated. Well, that rebuke that Jesus directed at Peter has become something of a stock conversational phrase in our culture. It's kind of a way of saying, you know, stop tempting me. So if I say to a friend, for example, "You're only going to have a single scoop? Why don't you go for three scoops? Go ahead, have the triple decker today." You know, and then he might say to me, "Get behind me, Satan. Stop tempting me." So it's we hear it once in a while in our conversation, that phrase of our Lord. I'm not sure, though, that we really have a very good understanding of that phrase. If anything, we probably trivialize that phrase, and we also trivialize Satan when we use it in that way, when we're facing temptations like an extra scoop of ice cream or maybe a little larger slice of pecan pie. But I think the reason that we really fail to understand these words is that what Jesus is saying here is so countercultural and so counterintuitive that psychologically we just kind of need to set it outside of the realm of our possibilities. Jesus, this is not just outside the box thinking. This is almost outside of our universe thinking. You see, Jesus lashes out at Peter because Peter simply wants to save Jesus. Now, let that sink in for just a moment. Jesus had just predicted a terrible death for himself, that he would suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that he would be killed. And Peter, who can blame him, simply wants to save Jesus from that fate. And for that, Jesus turns and rebukes Peter. Well, first of all, because not only does Jesus not need saving, but even more importantly, because Jesus is opposed to us saving ourselves. For those who want to save their life will lose it. It almost sounds as if Jesus is anti-self-preservation, you know? That his gospel isn't about us saving our lives, but it's about losing our lives. And that's the part of what Jesus says that is 180 degrees countercultural and counterintuitive. You think about it. Think about how much effort and energy and resources we pour into our self-preservation. Last year, the federal government spent $685 billion on our military. And what is a military for but for self-preservation? So that the bad guys will stay away and we can live our lives in peace and quiet. The Homeland Security budget, likewise, another $100 billion for the same thing. How much money do we spend on our health insurance? It almost makes you sick to think about it, which is kind of ironic because it's health insurance. But that too is for self-preservation. You might even say that every time you go to the grocery store, that's for self-preservation in a way, isn't it? And we will even inconvenience ourselves in order to preserve ourselves. Think of that the next time you're at the airport and you're standing in a TSA security line, or the next time you make a run to the gym to work out. All of that effort we pour into our self-preservation, all of those resources that we bring to bear on our self-preservation. And now Jesus tells us that losing your life is what it's all about. In fact, it's only when you've lost your life that you will ever find it. And thinking about all of that, trying to work that out in my head, is kind of like trying to imagine a universe that has no boundaries, no endpoints. It just mentally hurts to try to think about infinity. And it hurts to think what Jesus is saying here. And I think it hurts because we are so encultured and we are so trained to try to preserve everything we can, and above all, to preserve ourselves. You know, Peter was obviously also having some troubles with this concept that Jesus was saying. At least he was having trouble with it on the day when the Lord rebuked him. But of course, later on in his life, when Peter was crucified upside down, it seems by then that the message had finally sunk in. Whoever wants to lose his life for my sake will find it. And it occurs to me that this whole passage kind of turns that whole evangelical question upside down. You know, brother, are you saved? Sister, are you saved? Is that the wrong question? Maybe the question is, brother, are you lost? Sister, are you lost? Because it's only when you've lost your life for the sake of Christ that you've found it. All right then, so how do you lose your life in Christ? I suppose probably the most obvious answer is the literal answer. You give yourself in martyrdom, like Peter did. Or consider a man by the name of Sawatha Wandala. He went to the second service at his church in a village called Atagara, Nigeria. As he arrived at church that morning, 100 Islamic militants from Boko Haram swarmed the church, and with their machetes and their guns, they began the slaughter of the Christians there in that church and village. Wandala witnessed these militants butchering even children, and he watched them throw one child into a ditch. More concerned for the life of that child than for his own well-being, Wandala scooped up that child to try to take him to a hospital. But then Wandala was himself attacked by 5 of these militants who grabbed and beheaded this child and then proceeded to beat him with tree branches and finally struck him on the head with a large rock and left him for dead. Another man, another Christian man in that same village, John Yakubu, had fled the first attack. He had escaped with his family. But he decided that 2 weeks later he needed to go back to the village to get some of his things from his house so that he could support his family, which was basically in exile at that time. But when he returned to the village, there were more Boko Haram militants waiting there for him. They seized him and they gave him an option: convert to Islam or die a painful death. And when he refused, they proceeded to chop off his hands, and they gave him another chance to convert. And he said to them, "You can kill my body, but you can't kill my soul." Whereupon, they continued to torture and to beat him in ways I don't even want to describe to you. It is horrible. And then they left him for dead. Would you believe, both of these men survived, whereas most of their fellow Christians and their family members and fellow villagers, they were all wiped out. But they survived. And both of them have since said they have forgiven those Islamists because they did not know what they were doing. You know, it is happening more and more in our world, and we're hearing more about it, isn't it? Christians are taking up their crosses, and they are losing their lives for Christ. But we have to ask here today, as we sit in our nice air-conditioned church, is this the only way that the words of our Lord can be fulfilled in our lives, that we lose our lives literally, like these people are willing to do? No, it's not the only way those words can be fulfilled. Friends, if I ask you right now, have you lost your life for Christ? You know what your answer should be? You should say yes. And you know why you should say yes? Because you've been baptized. What you have to remember, friends, is that when Jesus tells you to lose your life to find it, He's really only telling us that we need to live out the implications of what happened to us at the baptismal font. Here's what Paul says. Do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in a newness of life. And then he goes on to say, we know that our old self was crucified with Christ, in order that this body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Do you see it? In your baptism, your life has already been lost. You died with Christ. Sin has been brought to nothing in your life, for you have been crucified with Christ and risen with Him. Do you think Suwalha Wandela or John Yakubu, whose stories I just told you, do you think that they found the strength within themselves to lose their lives for Christ? No. Christ first lost His life for them. And more than that, by their baptism, Christ incorporated those men into His death and into His resurrection. They had already lost their lives in Christ. So when Jesus says you must lose your life to find it, what He's really saying is you just got to live out what I did for you in your baptism, what I already accomplished. You died with Me. How can the world now kill you? What can man do to you? You've already lost your life. Now just take up your cross and follow Jesus. And to take up the cross simply means to bear what you must for the sake of Christ in this world, whether it's mockery or laughter or the scorn of this world as they make fun of us for our faith, or whether it's the sacrifices of your resources and of your time and talents to spread the gospel of Jesus, or it's whatever you give in service to your neighbor in the name of Christ, or even if you are ever called to it, to lay down your bodily life. But when you do those things, when you lose your life for Christ, even as it was lost in Christ in your baptism, you will find that like Suwalha Wandela and John Yakubu, in fact, now you have found your life. Just ask all of the martyrs who are gathered around the throne of the Lamb. They'll tell you, it's when you lose it that you find it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Friends, may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.